Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this morning from John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 21, and I read verse 6, especially as text for the sermon, John 21, verse 6. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. The theme for this sermon is the abundance of the Lord. We have 3 points. The first point, the disciples failing in fishing. Second point, the Lord asking and providing. And the third point, to see the work of the Lord. So the theme is the abundance of the Lord. 3 points, the disciples failing in fishing. Secondly, the Lord asking and providing. And thirdly, to see the work of the Lord. Congregation, I heard a story of two men who had to perform a certain task, and it was done like a competition. Who would do the best? Who would be the fastest one in doing this thing? And so one of them was full of confidence, I can do this. So he started immediately to do this thing, but the other one was not so confident about if he could do that. So that caused him to look for help. That person didn't go to start immediately, but was looking around for help. And then when he looked up, he saw there were instructions written there, how you had to do it. And, you know, then when he saw that, then he started to do the thing according to the instructions, step by step. And although the other one was faster in starting, but not looking up for help, the other one failed. And the man who looked up for help and saw the instructions step by step, he did it right, and he succeeded to be the first one. I thought, wow, that is something to think about. So confidence in self was such a hindrance for this man to win this competition, to succeed in doing what he had to do. And the other one, who felt helpless, looked up and found help and made it. He saw the instructions. So that's a picture of man in this world. There are people who really are confident in themselves and don't look up for help and don't read the instructions provided by God, how to be helped in His Word. And they fail. And they will fail for all eternity, but also in this life. Their lives are not fruitful like they could be when they would depend on Christ and live with Him. So what an important lesson that we have to get rid of: foolish self-confidence without depending on the Lord. And the Lord Jesus is going to teach His disciples this lesson. After He resurrected and before He is sending them into the world to be apostles, to proclaim the gospel in a world full of superstition and darkness and idolatry, He's going to teach them a lesson they will never forget. How good is the Lord that He is doing that. You could say, and we say that with reverence, He is providing a manual for the ministry. But in a certain way we can say it's a manual for every Christian. Did you ever have to do a job and you bought a new tool and there's a manual and you immediately start to use a tool and then you get stuck? You think, oh, it doesn't work. And then you turn to the manual and start to read, oh, now I see how I have to do it. I did it wrong. That's how we all do it. Isn't that strange? Isn't that also an illustration of foolish self-confidence? I can do this. Or laziness, maybe. But the Lord in His goodness is providing a manual for the disciples, for the ministry, how to work in His kingdom, how to go into this world with the gospel. He is providing instruction. Those fishermen, before they go into the world to be fishers of men, the Lord is teaching them. And it happens in Galilee. We find them there after the Lord Jesus resurrected and before He ascended to heaven. They are there in Galilee, at least seven of them. And that's for a reason. There is a reason why we find them there together. Because the Lord Jesus told them that they would see Him there in Galilee. After He resurrected, He commanded His disciples to go there. So here they are, and they have to wait for the Lord. It's kind of remarkable that we find seven disciples and they go fishing. Peter says, I go fishing. And the others say, we go with you. So seven of them are fishermen, at least. So many, more than half of the disciples were fishermen. It almost feels like this is a good occupation that would prepare people to do this work in the kingdom of God, fishermen, who were used to persist in a dark night to catch fish, to work for it, and to deal with discouragement or danger. And so, yeah, here they go, they take that previous occupation they had, that work they had done, they go fishing. Some commentaries would say this was wrong. They were called for the ministry. So now they return to the old handwork they did, the occupation they did to fish. And that's like denying the ministry. And that's why they fail this night. I cannot see that. I mean, Scripture doesn't say it was wrong. And I cannot see why it would be wrong if you have time on your hands that you do something useful. Like Paul, when he was in the ministry, he would make tents to provide a living. And so while they were waiting, they go fishing. But you see it before you, isn't it? There they go. And they like it. We can understand that. Something you have done so much, you are experienced in it, you have the skills, and it had your heart. Although you have a different calling now, it's so nice to do it for a while again, to go fishing. And there they go. Immediately they go in a ship and they cast the nets in the sea. But that night they catch nothing. So we see it, how they work there, they cast the net in the sea and they draw the nets in, nothing. Well, that can happen. So they try again and they draw the nets in, nothing again. And they continue, do it again and again, and they work the whole night. They get tired. But also there's a deep disappointment. Why do we not catch anything? Yeah, you might have experienced that. You work hard, but if you are successful, your work goes well, then you don't feel so tired. Like when you preach the gospel and you feel like the Holy Spirit is helping you very much, and you don't feel tired afterwards. If you feel like I had to do it myself and it was so hard, and you're so exhausted. You might have that feeling. Well, we can see the disappointment. We can see the discouragement they experience in this long, long dark night. Why do we not catch anything? The whole night, simply nothing. And then, yeah, the questions come in your heart. What is the reason? And you can see in this situation of these fishermen working there in the darkness of the night and no success. You can see an illustration of what people can experience in this life. It might be your situation right now. That you do what you can to be successful, to make a living or to do your studies and it's you feel like failing. It doesn't work out like you hoped it would, or in your family or in your personal life, in your spiritual life. It's so dark. It feels like a dark night and you're so tired of it. And then you hear a voice. There's a voice whispering in your ears. There's a thought coming up in your heart. The Lord is not helping you. The Lord has forgotten about you. Of course He is not helping you. Don't you know who you are? He doesn't want to deal with you anymore. He's against you. You can clearly see that. You never experienced that Satan is whispering that in the hearts. Yes, in the hearts of God's children. It's so dark. It is so difficult. How can we go forward with that feeling? So then at a certain point, well, the time is over. The useful time to fish, the fish will go to deeper waters. So the new day is coming and they quit. They go to the shore and then they see something there. When the morning was now come, they see a man standing there on the shore. Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. So can that happen? That Jesus standing there, it's something to see before you that while they were working there, that they were not forgotten by the Lord. It isn't true what Satan is whispering in the hearts of God's children. The Lord is against you. The Lord has forgotten you. The Lord has forsaken you. Jesus standing there while they were failing. He knew about a situation. He knew about their toiling and their work and their feelings, the darkness not only of the night but the darkness in their heart. Would the Lord not know about your life? Is He not the all-knowing God? But the next question is, did you bring it to the Lord? And there is, you know, it is not true that the Lord is against them. The Lord is at work to teach them a lesson. Is that the case in your life? Would that not be the case in your life? A most important lesson. The lesson of perseverance in the darkness of the night. The lesson of the need of faith. And no confidence in your own skills. They were skilled. They were experienced. They knew how to do their job. They were strong. They knew everything. They could do it. That's like a snare we can get in. I've done this ministry for more than 20 years. I know how to do it. No, that's not how it works. I have to depend on the Lord. If the Lord will not build the house, it's in vain that we work the whole day. It's all depending on His blessing and the power of His Holy Spirit. Depending on His word and His help. And that's what they are going to experience. Yes, there's a dark night. It doesn't feel like this is the goodness of the Lord, but it is for them. And there is going to be a new morning where Jesus will be met and abundance will be found. And that's still true. You could say this life is like a dark night. Isn't it true? Isn't that too negative? Well, it's scriptural. It's a veil of tears because of sin. Because of that we have sinned against God. It's a simple truth. And we can try to deny it, to escape it like the whole world does by seeking entertainment and filling our minds with all things of this world. Many people are scared to think about reality. Well, it is reality. We are in this dark night. But did you see Jesus on the shore? Did you hear from Scripture there's a new morning gonna come? Where he will be met and experienced. And abundance will be provided and is provided in Christ. So our first thought is the disciples failing in fishing. And they were fishermen. Oh, it was very hard. To fail is hard, isn't it? But we have failed. And it's much more than failing. In sinning against God, it was willfully turning away from God, broken that relation, and cast ourselves in destruction, in ruin. But here's the word. They are going to hear the voice of the Son of God. And this morning, the Lord Jesus is speaking to through the preaching of the word. So a second thought is the Lord asking and providing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Why did they not know it? They'd walked with him for 3 years. Was it because the light was not yet so clear in morning? Or there was even a morning fog there that hindered them in seeing it? Or did the Lord keep their eyes, like we also read sometimes in Scripture, that their eyes were hauled so that they wouldn't see it? Well, Scripture doesn't say that. Or should we say it was a lack of faith? A lack of remembering the word of the Lord that he would meet them there? And isn't that the case in our lives many times? When we think the Lord has forgotten us and we have failed and here we are forsaken and we do not see the Lord Jesus like he is revealing himself in Scripture. And the problem is with us, isn't it? That our sight is not as clear as it should be, because we do not wear the glasses of faith. We do not listen to the word like we should. They knew not that it was Jesus. So they still thought, here we are, all alone with our failure. But he was there. He was watching them. And now he is in heaven as a great high priest. And he will never, no, never forsake his church. Do you remember that? Will you never forget that? Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? Do you have any food? Just a simple question, but also a very kind question, isn't it? Children, do you have any meat, any food? And they answered him just one word, no. And you can hear it's full of disappointment. How hard it is to admit that you don't have anything. Here you are, skilled, strong, healthy, you labored, you worked. And then to answer, no, I have nothing. So it is a kind question, a simple question, but also an exposing question, you could say. It's exposing the reality in their lives. Isn't that what Christ is doing? By his word. Like he did to the Samaritan woman, for example, in a wise way, like a wise physician or doctor would do to find out, to show the reality, the situation of a patient. No, we have nothing. Did you come to that point? Did you hear the word of the Lord, the voice of Christ? Do you have any meat? Is there anything that you can offer the Lord to satisfy him? It's just a simple question. What is there in your life? What did you catch? You've worked probably, we all do. As soon as we discover from the word and in our lives, from our conscience, that we are not right before God, that we are not righteous before God, that we are not standing in a rightly relation before a holy and just God, we start to work. And we can do it. We are skilled. We are strong. And we have the experience. We have the knowledge. And we work, like the Pharisees did. Yeah. And that has to come to an end by the word of the Lord, that we have to admit we have nothing. The word is heart searching, you could say. It was already in the paradise. There the Lord came and called Adam and Eve and asked them also a question. What did you do? How did you discover that you were naked, and why did you hide yourselves? Did you eat from that tree? So it's always the same. It's still the same today. The word is heart searching, and we don't like it at all. We don't like it. It is so difficult for us to discover reality in our lives. It was so hard for Adam and Eve to admit that they had disobeyed the word of the Lord, to admit the sinfulness and the depravity of the situation. It's the same for us. So did you come to the point that you could not deny it anymore? The disciples cannot deny it. How could they say, yes, we have something? Because they have not. And then they would have to show to this man, provide something for him, and they cannot. So we have to come to that point. The Lord has ways to bring us there. Are you still fighting against it? I mean, by nature we do fight against it. It's not that bad with me. I know, I'm not perfect, you know, but look to other people, how they live. And then if you look to me, I'm much better. I live a much better life. That will not help you. God is demanding perfection. He is holy, and you have to be holy, like we all were created in Adam. So why would you not admit? Why would you not come just to your knees and fall for the Lord? And it's so good. I mean, it's bringing such a liberty. And that burden is falling from your shoulders. I have nothing. And you admit it before the Lord. I cannot, Lord. That you give up. That you stop to force yourself to make it. That you look to the Lord. That you trust that it is true what Scripture says, that God has provided it in His Son. Well, that's what they are going to experience. The Lord is asking, but He is also providing. It's always the same. Augustine, in the early church, he already said it. And I remember one of my older pastors, my former pastors, he would say that many times in his preaching, that we have to pray, Lord, provide what thou art demanding, and then demand what thou hast provided. You understand that? So everything the Lord is demanding in His Word, He's also providing. He's so ready and able to provide. Yes, even repentance, true conviction in your heart, and true faith, conversion. It's all the work of the Lord. So let's pray that prayer. Lord, provide what thou art demanding, what I need to have before thee, and also the righteousness of Christ to be in a rightly relation to God. It's His gift. So the Lord asking and providing, that's what they are going to experience. After they have admitted their helplessness, He said unto them, so Christ taking the lead, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast, therefore, the net. It was against their reasoning, against their experience, because the best time to catch fish is over now. The morning is there. The fish go to the deeper waters, so we cannot reach them with our nets. But yeah, this man is saying it, and there is authority in his word. So they do it. They obey this command. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. So the word of the Lord is a word with authority. I hope it has authority in your life, that you have experienced that it has such an authority that although your experience might not be helpful, and your reasoning also might be against it, that you came to the point that you just did submit to the word, that obey the word of God. It's against your feeling, it's against your nature and your reasoning. I want to help myself, and how can I trust in something that I do not have in my own hands and cannot see? And it's so hard for my natural heart. But it is the word of God, and it is a truth. And so they do it. They obey. And you should do it as well. You should submit to the word. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Yes, but... Oh, stop reasoning now. See that this is the only way which God has provided in His word. Yes, but I don't feel it. I don't... Yeah, but it is a word. Would you say that your feelings are more trustworthy than the revelation of the eternal God? That would be foolish. That would be a foolish confidence like the man in the competition, not looking up, but trusting in his own insight and ability, and then failing. Yeah, we all have to learn this lesson, like the disciples. What an important manual they receive, that they would work on the word, on what God has spoken in His word, and believe it and obey it, even if it might go against their feeling and their reasoning. And how many times is that the case? I mean, did you ever try to evangelize, to talk to people about the gospel? And then you immediately might have the feeling, but what is the use? What is the help? Would I be able to change their way of thinking, their lives? Look how they live. But the word says that God is working miracles where His word is spoken. And just submit and believe and speak to your children and to your relatives and to other people in this world, so that they may be drawn out of darkness to the knowledge of Christ. So they cast the net, like they would do so many times in preaching the gospel. Cast the net in this world to catch people for the kingdom of God, upon His word, because He has spoken it, not because I reason and think and make my calculations. Well, it could work, it should be possible. No, because simply because God has spoken it, to labor in his kingdom, in whatever way it might be. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. That's something for those fishermen so experienced, to accept the authority of a stranger. But they did. There was something that made them obey. Wasn't it the Lord? Yes, it was the Lord, of course. His word has authority. Oh, what a blessing it is if that is the case in our lives. And now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. So how can we explain this? Well, this is simply a miracle. This is the work of the Lord, providing, not only asking, but also providing. And there is abundance of the Lord. There is a multitude that He is providing. You will not be ashamed. You and I, we will not be disappointed. If we work upon His word, young people, children, the word is the truth. Oh, I hope it is the foundation for your life, the guide for your life, the light in your life, that you trust in the word and will follow it, like the disciples do here, and they are not ashamed. They were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. There are many voices in this world. There are many things that tell us how to behave, to have a good life, to have happiness. Oh yeah, the world is full of it. Counselors, people. I'm not saying that all counseling is wrong, understand me well, but you know, I mean, there is a lot of wrong counsel in the things that we see in this world, a lot of wrong advices. If you read a newspaper or a magazine, or if you watch something on your computer, people will give you all kinds of information. There's an ocean of information in our days. So we don't have a lack of information, but the hard thing for you young people and children, adults, is to make the right choice. To hear, to listen to the right information. And you know, that's hard, because the world knows how to bring it, is very much skilled in how to bring information to you. To bring it in a way that it feels so convincing. It seems so good. You might have had that in... I remember there was a man coming to my door, and he was a student. And he wanted to meet because he wanted to sell books. And he talked, and the quality was so good, you know, and it would last for a long time, and it would have a benefit for my whole life. It costed thousands of dollars, but, you know, and if you make the decision now, you get a discount of so much, and you have to sign for it now. And actually, my wife had to be there because, you know, she was not. That's how they do it in this world. They know how to convince you, to put pressure on you, to make a just so attractive picture. And yeah, and then you have your Bible, and you open it. At first sight, it might not be attractive at all. No images there. I hope that you are not deceived. Really, I pray for that. That you will not be deceived, but that you listen to the word of God. And when you have experienced the truth of it, and the power in your life, and the fruit of it, Yeah, then you will turn to the word again and again. So they obey the voice of the Lord Jesus, and you should do it. Really, you should do it. Don't be deceived by all the other information you can get, but be in the word of the Lord and submit to it. And then they cannot draw the net for the multitude of fishes. And this is special. And then there's one of the disciples, and that is John, the one who had a special relation with the Lord Jesus, whom Jesus loved, it says in Scripture. And he says to Peter, "Peter, it is the Lord." Now, Peter, you could have known that. Don't you remember there was another situation where the Lord provided so much fish? But it seems Peter was not aware of it. So what we can learn is the Lord is giving different gifts and talents to people in his kingdom. The one pastor is different from the other pastor, and the one elder is different from the other elder, and the one disciple is different from the other disciple, and the one believer is different from the other one. And so John has the gift of deep insight. You can immediately tell that when you read his gospel, it's different from the other three in a certain way, although not opposing it. And Peter, he's more the man of the action. He will immediately do it. And we need both in the kingdom of God. The man of the insight, to think deeper. We need it, so that we wouldn't make mistakes. But also we need the man of the action, so that we wouldn't lose the opportunity to do it at the right moment. And so how good it is that the Lord has given different people in his church and in his kingdom, like John and Peter. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. He jumps into the water. And the other, because it was not so deep there, he could walk to the shore. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. They dragged the net. What an abundance the Lord has provided. Can we describe the joy in the heart? Overwhelming. After such a dark night of disappointment, the Lord providing abundance. So this is what the Lord does, teaching us the lesson of our impossibility and the lesson of his ability, his might, his power. And we need both, so that we would depend on him and not on self. But then they are going to see the work of the Lord. The Lord wants us to see his work. But before we continue, let us sing. Psalter 3:10, stanza 1 through 6. 3:10, stanza 1, "I love the Lord for my request, and humble plea he makes his care." 310, all stanzas.
Thank you.
congregation, when the disciples come to the shore to land, then as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish lay thereon in bread. What? There's a fire already. And fish. And bread. And this man was asking for food, for meat, and why? He doesn't need it, that's clear. He has it already. Yeah, that's true. That's true. We shouldn't think that the Lord depends on us. That would really be a mistake if a pastor would think the Lord depends on me. Or if a Christian would think the Lord depends on my efforts and my work. It's the other way around. We have to depend on the Lord and on His work. So the Lord is self-sufficient, you could say. The Lord has everything. He is not in need of us. There's really no reason for any pride about what you accomplish. It's all a gift of God. It's all His work through you. Yeah, that's true as well. The Lord is using people. That's clear from Scripture as well. So the Lord says unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Not that He is in need, but He is using it. He is using the ministry of people. He is using the labors, the testimonies, the witnessing of people in this world. But He does not depend on it. We should depend on Him. Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. The Lord does acknowledge the work of His children. We read that also, isn't it, in the book of Revelation, that blessed are those that die in the Lord and their works follow with them. They're not forgotten. No, they are the work of the Lord through His children and His servants, and so they are rewarded. They are rewarded by grace. By grace, because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the things, all the nights you have toiled, it's not forgotten by the Lord. Maybe people don't pay attention to it, may forget it soon. It's not forgotten by the Lord, it's all written in His book. And will all be revealed in eternity, to the glory of God and to the joy of the souls of those that are saved. So Simon Peter went up, here he is again, with his action, and drew the net to land, full of great fishes. He sees Simon at work. He is drawing the net full of great fishes. That's strange, isn't it? I mean, if you catch fish, there will be small, very small probably. Well, some might go through the net, but there will be small fishes. But this is full of great fishes, 153. Yeah, we can say this net is like a wonderful illustration of the preaching of the gospel. It's like casting the net in the sea. When we preach the gospel in this world, it's casting the net, and fishes will be caught. That's the work of the Lord. That's the miracle of God. Can we see something in the fact that, you know, it says, full of great fishes? I thought about it. I thought, well, it's actually true. And we cast the net of the gospel. And those fishes are perfect, isn't it? We want great fishes. That's good to sell them, to eat them. So, isn't it true that in a certain way, where people are caught by the net of the gospel, they're all great fishes? They're all perfect. They're all perfect in Christ. They're all holy. They're all righteous in Him. You might feel, well, I'm just a little one. In a certain way, that might be true. But don't forget about the truth as well, that in Christ, even the one with the smallest faith is perfect, is righteous, is holy, is fit for heaven. No, we don't need purgatory or something to prepare, as if the work of Christ was not sufficient. You know, that is the key, that is the secret of the perfection of the believers, of the holiness of the believers, of their righteousness, that they are acceptable before a holy God, because it is imputed to them. What Christ has accomplished is given to them for free. All that trust in the work of Christ and in Himself, in His person, for the salvation of their souls, they are right, righteous before God. Perfect. There's nothing lacking. No, nothing. Nothing lacking. Holy, acceptable in the sight of God. All great fishes. 153. Don't forget about it. I'm so discouraged when I see my life, Pastor. I know the Lord has worked in my life, but you know, I don't even dare to tell you what I have in my mind sometimes and what I do. I know. You don't have to tell me. I know it very well. That's the experience. But live by faith. And faith is looking to the Word. And faith is looking to Christ. And faith knows that in Christ I am the way I should be before God. So I have my daily battle, my daily warfare and fight against sin and the depravity of my old nature. But there's a firm hope and deep joy in my heart, because in Christ I'm perfect and acceptable before God, and nobody can take that away from me. No, not in all eternity. And nothing can separate me from the love of Christ, of God in Christ. Don't forget about it. All great fishes, and they count to them. God wants us to see His work. Don't forget about His wonders and His abundance. Read your Bible like counting His work. Like Abram, he had to wander through the land that God had given him, from the east to the west, from the north to the south, to see the gift of God. And so we dwell in the Word, and we count His many blessings provided in our lives. 153. And for all there were so many, yet was the net not broken. Yet was not the net broken. We remember in that other situation, Gospel according to Luke, that the nets were breaking. But here, the net was not broken. It will not break. The net of the Gospel will not break. God's plan will not fail. All those that He has chosen from eternity, that He has elected in His sovereign love, they will be saved. And none of them can be plucked out of the hands of Christ. They are like engrafted in His hands and cannot be taken out of it. His work will not fail, because God is the perfect, almighty God. So none will be lost. Satan will try. He does try very hard. Are you afraid? Like David was afraid, one of those days I will fall in the hands of Saul and I will die. He will kill me. It didn't happen, because God's plan with David would not fail. And God's plan with His children will not fail. And He has in His counsel that they will glorify Him for all eternity. So the net will not break. No, it's the truth. It's a net of the truth, of the Gospel. It cannot be broken. And, you know, they count them at 153. And so, of that number that God has designed, predestined for eternal glory, none of them will be missing. That number will be full. And they all is full, and they all will be saved. So let's see the work of the Lord. And then something happened, something so great and wonderful. Jesus said unto them, Come, and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. They had walked with him for 3 years. They know this is the Lord. And I think it's the same in the lives of God's children. Our situations. You get more experience in that life of walking with the Lord, and there are situations that it becomes so clear that this is the Lord teaching you and guiding you and providing for you. I know we have times that we have questions and what decisions should I make, but there are times that the presence of the Lord and the power of His Word is so overwhelming and so clear that you don't have to ask the question, you know. This is the Lord. There's no doubt about that. This is a divine word. I experience that in my life. It is the Lord speaking to me and present with me. And then this question that He says, "Come and dine." And Jesus then cometh and taketh the bread and giveth them and fish likewise. Come and dine. Can you imagine it? Can you see it before you? The fire there and the fish and the bread and the Lord Jesus saying and asking them, "Come and dine." There they come, those men. Exhausted after a night of work, after a dark night, a night of disappointment, a night of failure. And then the Lord Jesus, His sweet presence, "Come and dine." Wow, this is an illustration of what will happen in eternity. I mean, at the end of this life on earth, which is like a dark night in many ways of toiling and working and failure in myself, having nothing in myself, but also having seen the abundance of the Lord. But then that great thing of communion with the Lord, come and dine. To be with the Lord, to be satisfied by His provision. Then Jesus cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. It's not only something for eternity. It's also here and now. There are those times in life that we go through a deep veil of darkness and trial and affliction and so experience our failure. But also do hear the abundance of the Lord from His Word. And then do experience in this life times of sweet communion with the Lord. After a dark night, sweet communion with the Lord. And that your heart is overwhelmed and satisfied, that you have a taste of heaven. And it's so encouraging. It's like Psalm 84 says, they go from strength to strength. The Lord knows what we need. He knows that we do need the lessons of the trials and the dark night of failure, but that we also need to see His abundance and that we need a communion with the Lord. And that will cause that you will never turn away. He will keep you in that communion. That sweetness of communion with the Lord makes it worthwhile to suffer all the dark nights in this life. And that future, to see it by faith that is prepared. To be undisturbed in fellowship and communion with the Lord. That God will be all in all. That hope in my heart and that expectation. Yeah, that's such a cause of perseverance. That we persist and to run the race. We will not turn away. No, we will not turn back to the world. Although the world is so enticing, touching my emotions and giving me such a bright picture of the pleasure of sin. And I cannot. I've tasted the fellowship with Christ. I know what it means to have communion with Christ, to come and to dine with Him. And although it's partly here, I know it will be perfect in eternity. And so it's worthwhile, congregation, to continue, even through the dark veils and the dark nights. There's a new morning, but Christ will be standing on the shore, and that we will hear his voice, come and dine. And there will be that eternal wedding feast to be with the Lord. No dark nights anymore. No failure, no sin, no disappointment, but to be with him forever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, soon the new morning will be there. Forever. That Christ will be seen in glory. Will reveal himself in his sufficiency in a way that we could never experience it in this world. And that there will be no failure anymore, and no sin anymore, no darkness, no Satan. Lord, oh, let a day come soon that Christ will return in glory. We confess that many times we are so entangled in the things of this world that we do not have that prayer in our heart. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come soon. But teach us to pray and teach us also this prayer, Lord. And the dark nights help us a lot to pray this prayer, to have this expectation, to experience the wonder of thine abundance provided in Christ, in the gospel, in his work, and the sweetness of fellowship with Christ experienced by faith. Lord, bless thy word, that we may meditate on it, and that we may live with it, Lord, and that we may live it in this world, so that others will come to receive this abundance, will be caught in the net of the gospel. Lord, we pray that I would help this afternoon in preaching in jail, that the inmates will be caught in the net of the gospel, so that they will be set free and have liberty in jail. Lord, provide the help of the Holy Spirit. Keep us when we go home on the dangerous roads, and bring us in thy house again today in the evening. And Lord, that we may have a day of rest in thee, and keep Satan from us and keep us from sin. We pray all these things, not that we deserve, but only in Jesus' name. Amen.